I find myself always looking forward to Evensong until usually I open up the readings to prepare a thought for the evening. The joy of the lectionary, set readings that take us through most of our scripture over 3 years. And that means we don't get to hop between our favorite passages week after week, which is good because you'd be fed up of me doing the hymn to Christ, who being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, or John 1, in the beginning was the Word. So we don't have to do that. But what we do have to do is some thinking about the stuff that is put before us, based on what's actually there in our scriptures, which is kind of my theme for today. What is actually there? Today's gospel reading that Karen read for us is one of those disturbing pieces where Jesus doesn't actually seem to be very nice or very clear. We have this beautiful image of Jesus wanting to gather Jerusalem under their wings as a mother hen gathers her chicks. But he's also talking at the same time as how the city will kill him. Of course, this is part of our Lenten journey, the start of our Lenten journey, as Jesus is himself grappling with what he can see as the end, the inevitable end of his journey, the only end to a journey which challenges at the deepest level powers of empire, religious and secular. The only end for a prophet who stands up for justice and who speaks out against unjust structures and who lives out the values which underpin the Hebrew law. The gospel passage says that this is not an easy road. This is not the simple way. This is not the way of fluffiness and hugs. This is the narrow way, the steep and rocky way, which leads to the greatest healing, the healing of human society and our relationship with the divine and God's creation. This is at the heart of our Lenten journey, acknowledging reality and realigning ourselves to this way of life to which God calls us. It's the way that leads to resurrection and new creation, but in the midst of it, it is often painful and frustrating. Not a bad reminder that in Lent, we are called to realign ourselves and commit ourselves to that life of justice and speaking out and advocating within the life of God. And then we have also this evening this much misused story of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I don't call it the story of the fall, because from thence has come very much dark and negative theology. So I try not to use that kind of thinking. We have this story at the beginning of Lent, and many will use it to remind us of how bad and sinful we are, to remind us about the doctrine of original sin, and to encourage us in seeing ourselves as miserable sinners, or as the prayer book says, miserable offenders. Maybe that was the reasoning of the compilers of our lectionary schedule, but I don't think it's that's true of the original story or of the meaning that Scripture is encouraging us to grapple with. I remember way back in the late 1980s as a young theology undergrad, hearing a term which helped me begin to get to grips with my own journey of faith and a move away from the biblical literalism of my youth. The term was, and I've used it once today already, and it indeed still is, etiological, an etiological myth, a term which was actually being used at the time to discuss this very passage. An etiological myth is a story that attempts to give meaning, as I said this morning, not literally true, but containing truths. In a simplistic way, I think of Rudyard Kipling's Just So stories, How the Leopard Got His Spots, or How the Camel Got His Hump, or that kind of thing. But today's story is dealing with slightly more cosmic themes, along with some more mundane questions about serpents. Imagine a campfire scene with the family gathered and a child asks, "Elders, why do snakes have no legs?" Oh, and by the way, what is the reason for this deep sense of disconnect I feel, as though things were once much better and now are clouded by existential angst and things seem so very wrong with the world? And one of the matriarchs turns to the circle and says, "I've got this one. Once upon a time, there was a very naughty snake called Crawley, and the tale goes on. Of course, it's not that simple. But that's the kind of literature we have in this part of the scriptures of our Hebrew forebears, seeking to find meaning, seeking to ask why the world is like it is, and was it ever better, and will it be better again? This is the meaning-making to which we are called, particularly in these strange and difficult days as we seek to hold one another metaphorically and physically through and in this new pandemic world. And we all seek to get through together with our mental health, if not intact, then as cared for as possible. In our search for meaning, in the realignment of our hearts through this Lent, may we be open to encountering these stories that do not try to dot all the I's and cross all the T's, but which seek to engage our hearts and minds in the mystery of meeting again the God who is with us in and through all things. A blessed Lent to you all. May God bless our seeking and our finding. Amen.